and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities, and it's provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. Today, our host, Lotta Murdy, will be speaking to friends and members of Race Matters Slow, screening films that spotlight the experiences of Black and Indigenous people of color and people of color at the 2024 San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. Among other topics, they'll discuss these films, including the documentary Wrestled Away, featuring wrestling champion and local resident Lee Kemp. I invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation today, Thursday, between 1 and 2. You can call in and be part of the discussion at 805-781-3872, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we'll pass them on to the panel. With that, let's join Lotta and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. So I've lived on California's Central Coast for more than 12 years, and believe it or not, this will be my first time going to the San Luis Obispo Film Festival with my family. We are going on Sunday, April 28th, to see Space, a series of five film shorts exploring the significance of space in the lives of BIPOC, or Black and Indigenous people, and people of color. Here today to talk not only about that series, but also about other Slow Film Festival events amplifying Black voices on the Central Coast are Courtney Hale, founder and executive director of Race Matters, Lee Kemp, subject and producer of the film Wrestled Away, The Lee Kemp Story, and Kyra Harris, a Cal Poly Slow film student and aspiring filmmaker. Welcome, Courtney, Lee, and Kyra. Thank you for being here today. So, Courtney, tell us about Race Matters and Friends' involvement in the San Luis Obispo Film Festival this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So Race Matters has collaborated. This will be our fourth year collaborating with the Slow Film Festival to bring a free program of short films by and about Black and other people of color. And so, yeah, we've done it. This is our fourth year now. The first year was all virtual, and now we've had – this is our third in-person one in a row, and it's been really fun to, with our volunteers, curate the films and watch the films that are submitted and then really shape them around a theme.
So what got you involved that first year? Was that 2021?
It was 2020, and that was during a time when much of the community in the world were concerned with and speaking about racial justice and about amplifying Black voices in particular. And I believe the Slow Film Fest did receive some funding, especially to amplify Black voices, and they reached out to us to curate short films.
So tell us a little bit, for those listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about Race Matters Slow.
Yeah, absolutely. So Race Matters was born in 2016 as a grassroots group, and then we incorporated as a nonprofit in 2021. And our mission is to amplify Black voices and matters of racial justice through arts and culture and also social and educational events. So sometimes the events are all of those mixed up. That's how we like it. And yeah, it's been quite a ride, and we're a small nonprofit and growing, but we have our space Texture, which is a salon and multi-use space, so that's been a big change for us this year, and then we continue to do our programs, and luckily one of them is with the Film Fest every year.
So is there a different theme for Race Matters involvement in the film festival each year? Is it always a series of shorts?
So it's always shorts, and I think I feel like we felt that with shorts you can have more stories and more voices in a shorter amount of time. In that, you know, hour or a little over an hour, you can just get more bang for your buck. So we thought shorts, and I admittedly can have a short attention span at times. So I was like, yeah, keep them short. But basically having more voices, and we've had different themes every year. And as you mentioned, the theme this year is space.
So what qualifies as a film short, Kyra? Is there a certain length that has to be under, or I've always wondered.
There is not a super strict guideline on what a short is. Usually it's typically under 25 minutes, typically. I mean, it just tells a short story, and it's not a not necessarily a super long fictional story, you know, romantic story like we'll see on screen. And it really focuses on getting to the point very quickly, and wrapping it up in a short amount of time, especially with short attention spans and kind of grasping the audience right away.
So about how long are each of the shorts this year in space?
They're around like 13 to 17 minutes, I think each of them are. They all vary, but the longest being 17 minutes and the shortest being around 13.
Great. So why space? Why is that the theme? And how did you find five films that all fit that theme?
It's honestly, it can be challenging because you're sort of looking at the films and, okay, which ones do we like? And then also which ones fit the theme. And sometimes it's the films come first and then we think, okay, what's a commonality? And space, of course, can mean so many different things. It can be physical or it can be imagined. And so when a word can be expansive, that's always helpful for a theme to include lots of different films. And then the concept of space is important to Race Matters is through our programs, through texture and also through other programs. Like, we're starting some therapist-led support groups that are like Black affirming spaces. And so the concept of space is very important to Race Matters. And so it made sense to incorporate it into the film fest.
So you mentioned the films come first sometimes. So does that mean that you put out a call for films, or how do you find?
Yeah,
or
so
you
our friends at the Film Fest get entries from all around the world, actually. And then since we've been working with them for a while, and they know the types of filmmakers we're looking for, they provide us a short list. Well, it's not that short, but a list of films, and then we watch and begin to pare them down, and then the theme starts to come from that.
The theme emerges
from
mm-hmm. the films. Very good. So let's talk about Wrestled Away now, Lee. How did this film come about?
That's a great question, because one of the key points of the documentary was the Olympic Games of 1980, and now we're coming up on another Olympic Games in 2024. So for those who may be listening, may not remember the boycott of 1980, and that was a long time ago, but our president wouldn't let our athletes go to the Olympic Games in 1980. They're going to be in Moscow at the time. And so most everyone knows about the Olympics and knows the effort and training, all that kind of stuff. So just imagine training your whole life for this one moment, and it's taken away. It would have been easier for it to happen, like for an injury or if I legitimately got beat by someone, because that's what competition is all about. But just I can remember the announcement. It was before the internet and all that kind of stuff. So I heard it on the radio. Jimmy Carter made an announcement that our athletes won't go to the Olympic Games. We were hearing about it, but that was like official. So it's almost like you're mid-training. You know, actually, I was training that day. I heard it on the radio. And so it happened. We didn't go to the Olympic Games. So anyway, the reason that this documentary came about is that was the first time in history that we did something like that. Even in the Berlin Olympic Games, we went to, you know, when Hitler was in power, and of course we all know what that was about, but we still went. And part of our goal, or part of the goal of the athletes, was just go have competition, friendly competition and all that. So we never believed we were not going to go to Moscow. Just our coaches told us not to watch TV, don't listen to the radio, just keep training, because we're probably going to go, but we didn't go. So the point of the documentary is to really, it's like to honor all the athletes, because, you know, that didn't get to go. Not just me. It was like 400 or so American athletes in all the various sports, from track and field, gymnastics, all that stuff, and our country, Jimmy Carter and his cabinet convinced our allied nations to boycott the games as well. So, you know, Japan, Great Britain, and, you know, basically the – and so it just affected thousands of human beings that trained. You know, I make a comparison, like, what if you're going to medical school, you know, 4 years pre-med and then 4 years medical school, and 1 month before you're going to graduate, you get an announcement that your school's been unaccredited and that your degree, you can't get it. So you have to, so you just think to yourself, well, okay, I'll just transfer. And they tell you, no, you have to start over again. And that's what a lot of athletes, including myself, tried to do, go for another 4 years. And it didn't really work out for me. So anyway, that happened in '80, so a long time ago, and it was never really talked about. You know, there were a lot of great athletes who went on to make further teams, like Carl Lewis. Most of us have heard of him, and Edwin Moses, and you know, Greg Louganis was a great diver, and you know, and then there's some gymnasts that were amazing, and all that. So they went on; they missed that one. Kurt Thomas was the name I was thinking of. He was America's first world champion from gymnastics. So, but some of us, some of them did not go on, and they just they retired after that. So anyway, the documentary got created, and it's my story in that whole thing. But then, because it's a documentary, it's kind of a personal story too, because that kind of set the stage for a just a cavalcade of stuff that happened. And it wasn't just solely because of that, but I think sometimes you go into a spiral because of some bad things that happen, and maybe you make bad choices after that. I mean, there were a lot of things that I had planned on happening, you know, as a result of hopefully having a successful experience at the 80 Olympic Games, and none of that happened. And so it's almost like everything just stops, you know. And not that wrestling is a big sport or anything, but, you know, there would have been some positive benefits from being an Olympic champion and all that. And I always thought of myself as an Olympic champion, and now that's not there anymore. It's almost like back to that med school example. Like, if you wanted to be a doctor your whole life, and then you just – if for some reason it didn't happen. So now you're in a room with other doctors, and you see that, well, I could have been – a doctor, and you hear how the doctors are being addressed, like doctor that so and so by name, and then they just look at you and just call you by your name, and you think, so Olympic gold medalist is like a title almost. You know, someone that wins an Olympic gold medal, they almost never not use that title. You know, people will bring it up, oh, that person's a, because most people understand what that means, that's the pinnacle of a lot of everything, the hard work and all that kind of stuff. So
I'm Lada Murthy with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your listener-supported radio station for the Central Coast. My guests today are Lee Kemp, subject and producer of the film Wrestled Away, The Lee Kemp Story, Kyra Harris, a Cal Poly SLO film student and aspiring filmmaker, and Courtney Hale, founder and executive director of Race Matters SLO. And we are talking about Race Matters and Friends' involvement in this year's 2024 San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. Listeners, please call or email with your questions, 805-781-3875 or voices at kcbx.org. So, Lee, you were telling us about the U.S. boycott of the Olympics in 1980 and how that impacted your life for years. So the boycott was due to the Cold War?
Yes, the Cold War was going on then, but specifically it was the Soviet Union back then. They hadn't broken up, but it was all the republics of the Soviet Union were together in one republic. And there was a lot of conflicts going on, as they are now, right? You know, because they're in Ukraine right now, but they had invaded Afghanistan at that time, and America got involved, and maybe it was a strategic alliance or whatever that they wanted to make sure that Russia was not going to be able to have. But anyway, Jimmy Carter made a public statement that if they didn't leave Afghanistan, we wouldn't send our athletes to the Olympic Games. And that just seemed so ridiculous to me and everyone else that was involved in it. I mean, like, that didn't have anything to do with it, really. But I'm sure Russia laughed about that. They didn't care about that. And the bad thing about that, 4 years later, the Olympic Games were in L.A., and guess who boycotts?
Mm-hmm.
Russia and all their allied nations. So it screwed up like 8 years of people training, because in 84, when you're training to be the best in the world, that's what you want the world there, especially in a sport like wrestling. Russia, they're the best in the world. So in 1984, you take Russia out of it, and their allied nations, all the, at that time, the Eastern Communist Bloc countries, like Bulgaria and East Germany and some of the countries are really good in wrestling, they're all gone. They're all out of the 84 games. So now what you have, and again, I'm not downplaying the Americans that won gold medals in 1984, but we did do well, America did, because we weren't competing with all those other countries, you know. We had some great performances in every area, track and field, gymnastics. That's where Mary Lou Retton had her great performances there. Track and field, we had some great performances. And the wrestling team, out of 10 weight classes, we won 7 gold medals, which typically never had – we might win 2, you know, but because we're competing, you know, against countries – that at least historically weren't like that good in wrestling, I guess, at the time. But so anyway, it just really devastated. And then after that, the Goodwill Games were created. You may remember that. So for several years after that, or Olympics after that, there was also the Goodwill Games, just to kind of safeguard if anything like that were to happen again. And but I don't think it would ever happen again. I think people wouldn't really – I think the public opinion of that would be so negative that it could never happen again. And I think Jimmy Carter as a president, when you look up his historical records of what he did when he was in office, he was basically considered a failed president. He didn't – a weak president, maybe that's a better word. And the things he wanted to accomplish never got done. So I really think that when he made this statement about not going to the Olympic Games, I think that was one thing he knew he could he could carry out, because there was a lot of public outcry. There was a lot of opposition to it, but he just held firm and he just wouldn't budge, even though there were at very high levels of pressure for him to relent and not carry through with that. But I think he knew he could. That was in his control, and he just made sure that that happened.
So this documentary, Wrestled Away, is about so much more than just wrestling.
Yes.
So much more. So how did it become part of this year's SLO Film Festival?
I'll try to be condensed. I have a tendency to be a little wordy, I think. But about 2007, I think, was when the idea to do a documentary about me started. Now, I'll condense that to a real short story. Just some interested people felt that my story should be told in a documentary. And that's a little weird. It's flattering. It's kind of, you know, someone wants to do a movie about you in a documentary setting. Wrestling's a teeny tiny sport. It's not like, you know, basketball with Michael Jordan's documentary, that kind of stuff. It's just a small sport. Like, I'm thinking, who would be interested in this? And because of the boycott, because I missed my opportunity, I was favored to win an Olympic gold medal in 80. I was a 2-time world champion. Prior to that, I was a number one ranked wrestler in the world. I felt confident, and other people, coaches, and after the Olympic Games, I still competed, and I wrestled the people that did win, and I beat them later on. So, I mean, I think this person that felt that a documentary should be made about me, you know, was aware of all that. And they said that you basically missed your opportunity for the recognition that you worked so hard for. There should be something to document and the historical record of what you accomplished in wrestling. So that's how it kind of got started. I was reluctant. That sounds a little weird, but I mean, I was a little reluctant because where this has evolved to, I couldn't conceive of that back in 2005 or six. So I knew it was going to require some promotion and some selling of it, and it's a little bit awkward when you're selling, you know, yourself in a documentary because it requires money, time. People need to do all kinds of things when you finally pull the trigger, and now everybody is going in that direction, and you're being pulled along in that direction too. I'll say pulled because at first I really didn't feel. I just felt a little. It wasn't my personality to be trying to do that, but here we are now, and it took that long for it to get finished because these are labors of love, and people aren't getting paid, and it's just, you know, I just lots of the universe opened doors to where some people who had a lot of talent had time and lended themselves to it. Billy Baldwin, Hollywood actor, very successful from the family of the Baldwin family. Billy was a wrestler, and so I know the wrestlers, and he is a friend of wrestling, even though he has his Hollywood life. He loves wrestlers. He comes to the national tournament, and I kind of got to know him. So I reached out to him to do the narration. So if you watch the documentary, you'll hear his voice, and you may wonder, what's his voice doing on this documentary? Because it doesn't seem like it fits because of his stature in Hollywood. But it took me reaching out to him to do things like that. It was a little bit – I had to get out of my comfort zone to – because I wanted it to be as successful as it could. So I had to reach out to people for financing and lots of other stuff.
So those who worked on the film, are they all based in the Central Coast or most of them?
Well, no, me, just me. I moved here in 2018.
Okay.
So I've been here since then.
Great. So tell our listeners when and where they can watch Wrestled Away.
Well, it's going to be screened. This is going to be screened on this Monday, the 29th at 7:30 in the downtown cinemas. And this the first time it's being screened in any in a theater format. So I guess you could say it's the premiere. You know, it's available on streaming services and things like that. And COVID kind of stopped all the things that could have probably happened like this back when it was actually finished, but as things work out, now the opportunity has presented itself. When I moved here, I got to know Preston and other people within the community, and I would still say that I had a documentary about my life, and people would be interested in that, and they felt that, why don't you submit it to the Soul Film Festival? You live here, and you're a resident. It might be something that would gain some interest. And it did. It did. So, and I was a little reluctant to do that because I didn't think anybody would really be that totally interested in wrestling and maybe my story. I mean, no one really thinks their story is that interesting, but when it gets put out like that in like a movie, you are completely exposed, if I can say it that way. You know, so it's here.
Well, I think everyone has a story, an interesting story, and I'm glad that you had a group of people who convinced you to tell yours in this documentary format and that it will be part of the film festival this year. So turning back to space, when and where can listeners view that?
So space will be Sunday, 1 p.m. at the Fremont Theater. And folks can get tickets off. Well, they can go to Race Matters Slow website and hit our events tab. Or they can go to Slow Film Fest and type in space in all caps and they'll find it. You could also show up. It is free. I know that we want a head count, so we'd like people to get their tickets. But you can show up. You can show up 1 o'clock, Fremont Theater. Parking's free in the structure that day, too. So you can have a free day. And, yeah.
Great. So how do tickets work for is Wrestled Away also free?
No.
No.
It's through the SLO Film Festival website, there's links that you can get tickets there.
Great. Great. So, Kyra, there's a Q&A event following the short film series space, correct?
Yes, there is. There is. Right now we have one filmmaker for sure who will be there, and we'll be able to ask questions and interact and kind of debrief the films and go over them. And the audience will also have a chance to ask some questions and just throw out their opinions or whatever they have.
Who's the filmmaker who will be there?
Her name is Andrea, and she is the director and the screenwriter of In Wonderland.
And In Wonderland is one of the...
Is one of the films, yeah, one of the five films that will be shown.
Excellent. So why do you think it's important for Central Coast audiences to see both of these films, Wrestled Away or Space or both?
I think that when we do live in a small community that can be a little bit sheltered, that events like the Slow Film Fest in general can provide us windows into other worlds. And that's very important, especially in a predominantly white community, to have windows into all the different cultures out there. And thankful that we have Slow Film Fest, and we'll need to continue to support them as well, because it is a wonderful thing that every year we get these filmmakers coming to town and have all these variety of films to watch. And in terms of space in particular, it does offer, you know, five films, five different perspectives, and films that otherwise folks might not have access to.
Who are the groups generally represented in these films?
That's a good question. So there's five films, and I know there's one that's set in London, and it's a Nigerian young lady. And then Kyra, you can.
So yes, like she said, there's one set in London in Essex, of a Nigerian young lady who's kind of in this new space, in this new environment, trying to find her way. There's a documentary about Black girls play, and it's all about hand games and the origination of that among Black people and how it's transformed culture. There's another one called Gaps, one of my favorites, about a little girl who's got a gap in her teeth and trying to navigate those feelings and the pressures to look a certain way. Then there's another one of about two grandmothers who are of Asian descent, and they live together through their grandson, and he's kind of taking them on a journey and talking about their lives. And then In Wonderland is a story, a play on Alice in Wonderland, and of a girl seeking asylum in America, and just her journey from Mexico and trying to figure out what is this new life she's getting into and trying to detach from the old one. So they're super cool. They're all five representing different diversities, which is awesome.
We are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, we bring you a first-of-its-kind investigation into how prolonged exposure to toxins affects the health of workers, the workers who rebuild American cities after natural disasters.
These workers are just as vulnerable now as they were almost 20 years ago.
That's this week on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, are we approaching the end of Hollywood as we know it? We talk with Daniel Bessner about his cover story for Harper's that examines the threats facing the entertainment industry, including the merging of big studios, and what it means for those most vulnerable, the television and film writers. Join us.
Some automakers have been collecting data on drivers' behaviors without those drivers giving the okay.
This is what drivers of GM vehicles have been telling me. They said, I don't know how I signed up for this. I don't understand why it's happening to me.
I'm Kimberly Adams. A conversation with a reporter who was among the drivers being tracked. Next time on Marketplace.
From the KCBX Community Calendar, the Santa Maria Strawberry Festival is coming up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26th through the 28th from noon to 10 p.m. each day. The fair will be held at the Santa Maria Fair Park, and there will be carnival rides, strawberry tasting, and a children's art contest with music performances daily. If you'd like to find out more, you can visit the Community Calendar page, where you will find arts, entertainment, and nonprofit events here in San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Southern Monterey counties. And you can submit your item or event to be shared on that page. You'll find it right there on the website at kcbx.org. Where, as you just heard, ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX, Latino USA is coming up from 2 to 3 o'clock. Fresh Air follows from 3 to 4. Then it's Marketplace at 4 o'clock. Right now, let's return to Lotta Murty and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. I have been talking to guests Kyra Harris, a Cal Poly SLO film student and aspiring filmmaker, Courtney Hale, founder and executive director of Race Matters, and Lee Kemp, subject and producer of the film Wrestled Away, The Lee Kemp Story. And we have been talking about the films that Race Matters SLO and Friends are hosting at the 2024 San Luis Obispo Film Festival on Sunday, April 28th, and Monday, April 29th. We welcome your calls and emails about these films. Call 805-781-3875 or email voices@kcbx.org. So before the break, we were talking about what Central Coast audiences could take away from, learn from these films. So, Kyra, what do you think specifically Cal Poly SLO students may be able to learn, take away from Space?
You know, I think that Cal Poly students will really be able to take away just a nice inside look, inside view of diversity. It's not a completely diverse campus, so kind of opening up those stories and those dialogues will really help, and it kind of gives a background on the emotions and the feelings and the stories that come with being people of color and, you know, being in different societies that they may not be accepted in, which quite a few of the films are touch on that and describe that. And I think that's the biggest thing to take away is just the dialogue and learning to see everybody's stories and that you have your story, I have my story, and how can we both shine lights on those as well.
We have a question from a listener. Preston in Arroyo Grande asks about your hopes for attendees to take away from the film festival, from these films, which is what we've been talking about. So let's move over to Wrestled Away. And Lee, what do you hope that audiences, attendees will take away from watching Wrestled Away?
The reason, the ultimate reason why I wanted to be completed was it shows people that they can go on in spite of a disaster. I'll just call it that. Not a small disappointment, not something, you know, whatever. But this is like major, not only in my life, but I'm sure all the listeners could probably relate to something major that has happened in their life. And you made the point of everyone has a story. So everyone has something in their life or a part of their life that could
be made into
a story. So it was shot
in such a way where it shows triumphing over it, you know, and moving on, and then finding like future success in something else. And just not just, it doesn't have to be a thing you have to be successful at. It means you can still go on and be a healthy human being. Because sometimes when you have a disappointment, it could spiral into something unhealthy mentally because you feel like you failed or something like that. So resilience and just being able to overcome adversity, I think, is thing that people will take away from watching this? Because when you delve into my life outside of the Olympic Games, there's some other stuff that happened that it was very difficult, actually. And so I'm here today as a survivor.
Will you be answering questions after the film showing on Monday?
Yes, yeah, I will be. Yeah.
So you'll be taking questions on Wrestled Away. And so some of these films are being considered for an audience award, possibly, yes?
Yeah, I believe the films in the space programs are eligible for the audience award, and all the logistics of that are, I believe, the Film Fest volunteers facilitate that after the screening.
Excellent. Yeah. So that's exciting. I didn't know about the awards till I started looking through the booklet for the SLO International Film Festival. So, Courtney, in addition to the films, in addition to the five film shorts in space and Wrestled Away, Race Matters is hosting a fundraising event this weekend as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So before the films, we have a brunch fundraiser that we've done for a few years now, and it's always important for us to get community support. That's how we stay afloat. And so luckily it is full. We're at capacity, so that's a great thing. And we'll have a silent auction and just hopefully get some great support from the community. And then we'll head across the street. Well, the Fremont, our venue is across from the back of the Fremont, where there's a beautiful mural. If you live in town, you've seen the mural on the back of the Fremont. And so we'd head across the street to the films afterwards and make a day of it.
So what's in store for each of these films, if you know, after the SLO International Film Festival? Any plans for Wrestled Away after this?
No, immediate plans. In fact, this just being in the film festival wasn't something that was totally planned out. It was just something that we thought we'd try because, you know, it seemed logical, but I hope it gets more viewership because the film was launched right, like COVID happened after that, and it killed anything that we had planned. We had a few things planned, like for instance, premiering it in Ohio, where I'm from, in between sessions of the Ohio State Wrestling Tournament, which is 100% wrestling crowd. It would have been amazing, but it didn't happen. And then we were even thinking of doing the same thing at the National Wrestling College Wrestling Tournament, which would have been amazing, which never happened. So because of COVID. So if there is an interest, it would be amazing to have it a broader exposure.
I hope that happens. So what brought you from Ohio to the Central Coast, or should we watch Wrestled Away to find out?
Well, you know what? My life would be totally different had the Olympics happened, and I wouldn't want a gold medal and all that kind of stuff. So, but because of that, you might have to watch Wrestled Away. But I will say that my son Adam Kemp, there was a period of time I wasn't with him, and so he came to live with me when he was 10. So it's 5-year period or so I wasn't around him hardly at all. And he was 10, and so it's not that that was the only thing on my mind, but I wanted him to wrestle. I wanted him to try something that I was good at, and that was a journey. Couldn't make a movie about that, but it culminated in him being good enough to win a scholarship to college. He got offered a scholarship to Fresno State. So we left Ohio, left Chicago area, and I was a single dad with him, so literally I just packed up my car with nothing almost and just came out here. And then, shows you how life works, a year and a half after he was here, he made the team and all that stuff, and they dropped the wrestling program, which is kind of like weird too, which doesn't happen often, but they dropped the wrestling program. So now he's without a program. And then John Cerritos, head coach at Cal Poly, recruited him, which came out of nowhere. And so we head over to Cal Poly. I didn't move right away, but I would come visit him, and I realized just how beautiful it was here. And I thought, why don't I live here instead of just commuting? I was living in Sacramento at the time. And so anyway, as you can see, everything has a story, and the stories just weave their way into the present moment that we're in. But yeah, without him wrestling, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here, and neither would he. And without the hardships either, because I would have gone in a different direction.
And in fact, your son Adam is sponsoring the film showing.
Yes, I should not have neglected that. That's a pretty big deal. So yes, he's got a business called Thrifty Beaches, which is amazing. I tell people all the time that when he was 12, he came to me when he was 10. When he was 12, he said, "Dad, I'm never going to work for anybody." And I didn't think that was too smart. He said, "I'm not going to college either." He says, "I don't need college to make money and be successful." He was right on all those fronts. But he did go to college, and in fact, he's in graduate school right now working on his MBA. But yeah, he has done really well in this business called Thrifty Beaches. Anyone who would like to stop in there, you won't be disappointed. It's got a nice vibe in there. It's really a pretty cool place, a vintage place.
So, Kyra, what's in store for you after the International Film Festival? And you're close to graduation, correct?
I am. I will be graduating this June. So super excited about that. I'm just taking the time to figure out what's next for me. Taking a break from school, taking a summer to kind of be with my family, enjoy my family. I'm always creating something, always making little documentaries. They're troopers. They're always my test subjects. So continuing to do that and the events that are happening in our lives. I'm a third generation Cal Poly student, so hopefully maybe we'll make a documentary about that essentially. But just having fun and enjoying and enjoying the ride and taking it wherever it takes me, but finding a job and a nice field, hopefully maybe starting a production studio one day.
I like all of those ideas. Is this your first time being involved in the SLO Film Festival?
This is my first time being involved. I've always I was born and raised here, so I've seen, the past few years it really blossom and grow, and I've always made plans and something's happened. So when they approached me to help out and be a part of it, I was super excited to be able to experience it and enjoy it and something you wouldn't expect from a small town. So to have all these great films and these filmmakers and these events is super, super cool, and I'm excited to be here.
So who reached out to you?
So I was actually in a class. My professor reached out to me and said that Race Matters had contacted her looking for a student. She thought I would be a good fit, and I met with Preston and Stephanie of Race Matters. We hit it off, and we are on this journey now. And then I was fortunate enough to meet Courtney and kind of hone what we're going to do and everything, and just really excited to be a part.
This is Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. My guests today are Courtney Hale, founder and executive director of Race Matters; Lee Kemp, subject and producer of the film Wrestled Away, The Lee Kemp Story; and Kyra Harris, a Cal Poly SLO film student and aspiring filmmaker. And we are talking about Race Matters and Friends film submissions and events at the 2024 San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. We still have a little more time to hear from you by email. Send your questions to voices@kcbx.org. So we were talking a little bit before that announcement about the future of these films, about your future, Kyra. How about for Race Matters? What's coming up for Race Matters SLO, Courtney?
Thank you for asking. Gosh, we're continuing to plug away at our programs. We do have a program called Shop Talk that takes place in our salon and multi-use space that offers therapist-led support. So there's a couple groups. One's are centered on Black healing, and the other is centered on healing for communities of color. And those groups are accepting folks. So you can reach out to us, hello@racematterslo.org, or just hit us on the website. So those are programs we're proud of. And gosh, just looking ahead, lots of exciting grants we're applying for and potential large projects. And yeah, excited about this weekend.
Right. And maybe Kyra will have a documentary for you as well.
Absolutely. Our next one. Yeah.
So what is the personal impact that these films or your involvement so far in the International Film Festival for SLO, what has that had on each of you? Lee? The personal impact of making this film, which you've talked about a bit, but also having it be part of the SLO International Film Festival.
Wow, that's a great question. The personal impact was all-encompassing. It's huge. You know, when you do a documentary that gets into all the areas of your life, some of them that aren't so good, you know, and that was one of the that was kind of a healing process too. The director was very adamant that he wasn't going to go forward with it unless we delved into some of the other areas. Once he learned about them, he says, oh, he came to me one day and said, how come you didn't tell me about this? I'm like, well, why would I tell you about that? I don't want that in the movie. He said, no, it has to be in the movie. So that was some tough things. And so personally, it allowed a period of healing. And now it's in a movie. So, I mean, it's like exposed. You just feel kind of exposed, I guess, from that standpoint. So personally, that it did serve that, but then it served to carry on my legacy, because I did do some did accomplish some things in the sport, and so now it's there in a film. So that I feel good about that. And what was the second part of the question?
Having it be part of the SLO International Film Festival. What you may not know now, but what impact do you hope that will have personally?
Oh, that's a bigger thing that has happened because of COVID and all the other things. We never had a launch, we never had anything like that, and we had some big names like Billy Baldwin. He had some connections to some. I envisioned being at some of these. At lots of different things, you know, because there was another Hollywood actor that was involved early on, but none of that happened, and just a lot of years that went by with nothing. And so when I moved here, I didn't even know there was a film festival here. Obviously, I moved here to be near my son at Cal Poly, and then I started to branch out and I got involved, and I think I met Preston through Race Matters probably. So that so shows you how stories happen. How, I mean, that's not random. I don't believe it. I just think the universe opened that up. And then just chatting with Preston one day, I told him I have a documentary about my life. And he's like, really? It just carried from there. He says, well, you know, we have a film festival here. You should submit your film. And I did. And it got accepted. So that's pretty powerful. It's the first time it's going to be seen to an audience in a theater format. My family will be there. I want them to see me in that light. You know, my son all the time says things to me that every parent wants to hear. You know, Dad, I'm proud of you. You know, so that's pretty cool. My daughter's coming from LA area. My kids are all older. You know, Adam's the youngest, but my daughter's 30, and although she doesn't like me saying that, she probably will say something to me if she hears this. But I have another son who's older. That he and his wife are having their first baby, not today or tomorrow or anything, but you know, the traveling may not be a good thing for them, so they won't be here, but otherwise they probably would. So all three of my kids would, but two will be here, so it'll be fun. I have some people coming from out of town too. My high school wrestling coach, think about that one, back in 1974, when I was in high school, he's got a prominent role in it. As all the people in the documentary, you know, they were hand-picked to be in it. Five are deceased now even. So without having this documentary, their stories, their opinions and interviews would have been lost forever. But my high school coach, I mean, he's like almost 80, I think, probably. So he's traveling here to be at the screening as a few other people were traveling. A former boss I had in New York City, and anyway, so just a lot of things. It's just going to be the culmination of just some interactions and just relationships that I've had with people that they can come and see this in a theater format.
So your high school wrestling coach is coming from Ohio?
Yes.
Wow.
That's what I said. I felt guilty a little bit because I knew he's spending lots of money. I'm like, but he's in it. He's got a prominent role in it. And the director that did this does documentaries. There's one I'll just throw out there for your listeners. It's Charles Mulley, M-U-L-L-Y, The Charles Mulley Story. If anybody would want to see an amazing documentary, that is one. He's an African and just created a bunch. Anyway, you have to see it, The Charles Mulley Story. The original director of my film, a very accomplished guy, Scott Hayes is his name. He was the original person that – so he put a lot of his expertise in it, and he – you know, he got out of me things I never would have told anybody. And then he went physically to interview all these people from all the various places I've lived. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be as extensive as it was. I was adopted when I was 5. So, I mean, I knew of my birth mother. I don't really interact with her that much. But when once I said that, he was on it. He went to go visit her and interviewed her, my sisters. And I mean, I do know them. And I do communicate with my birth mother, biological mother. You know, she had a birthday recently. But anyway, that's all in there. And which when he wanted to do this documentary, I didn't really think about it in that kind of depth, really. And all my coaches, and even interviewed the wrestler that kind of formed my legacy, beating, like, winning the Ohio State tournament. This wrestler that was, like, unbeatable, basically, and I actually wrestled him, and he found this guy and interviewed him, and I got to meet him again, and it was like a tearful reunion. I got to see this guy I hadn't seen since 1973, and this was done he's filmed probably in 2009-ish, somewhere in there. So
if someone had come up to you in 1980 when you had just found out that you could not compete in the Olympics, and they said to you, Lee, there's going to be a documentary about your life that will be in a film festival, 44 years later?
Wow.
What would you have thought?
I'd have thought they were crazy. I wouldn't have believed them. It wouldn't. And actually, because you triggered something in my mind, I did get to the Olympic Games in the 2008 Olympic Games. So from 1980 to 2008. Was it 28 years, almost 30 years, as a coach. So I went to the Beijing Olympics as one of the freestyle wrestling coaches. So I did get to walk in the opening ceremonies and get all the gear and all that kind of stuff. And it was pretty, I mean, it was pretty fun, but it happened obviously way after the fact. I never would have believed that either if someone would have said, 1980, you're going to be, an Olympic coach. I wouldn't have believed that. And the documentary, I mean, there's no way I would believe. There are no documentaries back then on wrestlers. Such a small sport, it's not something that that anybody would have even thought of, I think, probably.
Kyra, what about you? What's the personal impact that this has had on you?
Yeah, representation is super huge for me, and so being able to identify. There wasn't a film that I didn't identify with a certain piece or element of, and so that was super cool and a great opportunity for people who may not see stories like theirs or see people like them, for them. So it really touched me to be able to see that, and I'm a big believer that everybody and everything has a story. It's just about finding what story needs to be told at that moment and what story should we follow. And so for me, it was just kind of nostalgic. I think after I watched every single film, I came out smiling. Even if there had been sad moments or anything, it was just such a heartwarming and a feeling of good pride that I can identify with this story and to see that stories are being made about people of color. And as a Black woman, it's super important to see people who are like you and hear your own stories being told. So that's the personal impact it definitely had on me and being able to identify with the stories.
Courtney, to close us out, what's the personal impact that having Race Matters involved in this film festival now for 4 years has had?
It's been really cool. Like, I have to say, it is fun to go to the events and whatnot. And I think you both have passes of some sorts. They have receptions, and it does have, for a moment, you feel like you're maybe in a bigger city for a second. And it's nice to have the filmmakers in town. So there's just a little more to do. So on just like a social, personal level. And gosh, I mean, a few years ago, I think it was in 2021, we've produced a couple documentaries, and we had a documentary in the virtual festival. And so that was, and we got a local audience award, which was cool. And so that was a very cool experience. And then being able to still work in partnership. It is a fun event that happens every year, and we're lucky to have it here. So it'll be fun to be out there.
I want to thank today's guests, Lee Kemp, subject and producer of the film Wrestled Away, The Lee Kemp Story, Kyra Harris, a Cal Poly SLO film student and aspiring filmmaker, and Courtney Hale, founder and executive director of Race Matters SLO. Lee, Kyra, and Courtney, I really enjoyed learning more from all of you about your submissions or your support of this year's San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, both Wrestled Away, The Lee Kemp Story, as well as Space, a series of 5 short films, as well as Race Matters SLO's involvement in the film festival. Join us again next week for more on the issues, organizations, communities, and events making a difference on California's Central Coast. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation on Thursday, May 2nd, between 1 and 2 p.m. For Central Coast Voices on KCBX Public Radio, I'm Lotta Murty. Thank you for joining us today.